Greetings, in Jesus' name. Welcome each one present this morning. Thank you, visitors, for coming. And I enjoyed the Sunday school hour, thinking of that childhood story of walking around Jericho. And I didn't realize before today that was such a small city. When we think of cities today, we think of a big place. Only 8 acres. That's probably not a lot of people. Your brother teaching was probably right. Most of them were on the wall when the wall fell out. They were anxious to find out what's going to happen. Also appreciated what Steve brought this morning concerning Jonah. That is an amazing story as well. There are a lot of amazing stories in the Bible. This morning, I was teaching instruction class, and my mind was drawn to the end time events, what was in our instruction class, and I thought, you know, I guess they can listen to that again. Sorry. And I thought, well, I don't know if I ever heard of a message concerning intermediate state. Where do you go when you die? Does that look scary? Should a little bit. Not real scary, but enough to cause us to cause action to our life. Death is something way out there. Right? That's future. Rightly so, it probably is, some of us. It might be tomorrow. Might be today. We're made of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. It's amazing. God is a kind God. You know, us poor mortals, our parents sinned. God didn't chalk them off and say, well, that's so much for that. God provided a way back to him. Thank God for that. As we older we get, death seems reality. My father-in-law said, he can may lie in scrop as awesome grop. Some of you understood that. I know more people in the grave than out of the grave. It's getting more like that. I think we should take life serious. There are people like to take chances and do daring things, and then they laugh at it. I drive every day. I see some very daring things. You think, just that close to death. My famous saying is, they're flirting with the Undertaker. But one thing we do know, one consolation I have: God holds the future. God knows the future. I don't, but I know God does. And if we commit our life to him, what do we have to worry about? Is it that easy? Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Psalms 116:18 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Now, why did the psalmist say that? Why? Let's look at it from God's perspective, okay? God gave everything he had that we can come back to him. And then when we victoriously make it to glory, who's rejoicing? Well, it says the angels rejoice when one repents. The angels rejoice. Is God rejoicing when we get back? Maybe Jesus is rejoicing. Well, I see in that verse, there's victory for both God and man. No more temptation. We often see rest in peace. A Christian, when he dies, he does rest in peace because his soul no longer is troubled with temptation. All right. Sometimes we ask the question, if only I could talk to someone that made it to heaven and he could come back and just tell me exactly how it all went. Well, there is. Jesus did give us an example of that, didn't he? Let's turn to Luke 16. Luke 16. We don't read in this account much about the beggar, but we read plenty about the rich man. Here we have a glimpse of someone that came to some place he didn't want to be, and we had some conversation. Luke 16, verse 19, "And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus." Now, I'm going to stop right there. You know, I talk to Jehovah's Witness concerning this scripture. "Oh, that's a parable." I said, a parable, a man doesn't have a name, okay? Notice that. It has a name, Lazarus, "which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us there is a great gulf fixed, so that which would pass from hence to you cannot, whether they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them that lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Here we have a glimpse of life after death. There's a few facts that we want to look at. The first one, verse 22, you see that the angels carry you as an individual to your judgment place, place of judgment. It's either one or two places. The saints here carried the angels, by angels, in this case, to Abraham's bosom. Now, where are we at? That's a question we got to ask. In this scene, where are we at? Remember when Jesus was on the cross? What did he say to the thief? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. All right? In paradise. And also it says that the rich man lifted his eyes up in hell. It was a place of heat and much discomfort. Here we read the first time that this rich man had a concern for his brother. It's the first time we read about it. He didn't have no concern about his brothers until now. It was too late. It was simply too late. We can see that here. Too late. Now, we also notice there was a great gulf fixed. In other words, I don't know what was between Hades or hell, you would say hell, and paradise. I understand it was down, okay? I understand it was down. It was where the saved and unsaved went, but there was a divided compartment between the one and the other. Now, my question was this. How did that rich man know that Lazarus was in paradise? You know what I think? I think those in hell at that point could see over into paradise. Well, then brother, I don't know about that. Well, what about if you be in paradise and see the ugly place of hell? Oh, I look at it like this. Were you ever in it's dark, pitch dark outside? You were in here, the lights are on. Can you see out there what's going on? You can't see anything, can you? But if you're out there in the dark, you can see what's going on here in the light. That's just my thought. But it was a great gulf fixed. It couldn't get from one place to the other. It was final destiny. Now, I know another thing I want to dispute about I had a lot of contact with Jehovah's Witness already, and their theory is if you get to hell, you'll be burned up in a couple seconds. Is that true in this story? I always take them back to this story. Is it true? No, not true. It's a place, that man is still there today. I want to read a verse in Jude, verse 6. And the angels, Jude, verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, that's a whole different subject. He has reserved unto everlasting chains under darkness into the judgment of the great day. I believe those angels that sin, some of these here, are in that place, hell. (Clears throat) In Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. In other words, when we die, it's simply eternity. Okay? After the Christian dies, he has soul rest. Now, back in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, Solomon there gives a description of an old man getting old, a person getting old, and different things are wearing out. Okay? Then he says in verse 7, he says, then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was. Notice what he says next. And the spirit shall return to God who gave it. I want to elaborate on that a little more. Now in Philippians 1:23, Paul says this, for I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, okay? Which is far better. Nevertheless, I abide in the flesh, more needful for you. Now, 2 points I want to bring out here. We will be in the spirit form when we be with Christ. The spirit goes to God, okay? Goes to God. We'll be with God. As Christian, we'll be with God. Now, Paul here, he felt a tug of war being with Jesus or staying here on earth. You will meet Jesus. And also, now here, it says Jesus is up, right? Jesus is up today. Paradise was down. Now it says it's up. I want to read a verse in 2 Corinthians 12 to verify that fact. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now here is Paul giving, apparently Paul had a vision. Now that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words which were not lawful for a man to utter. Up into paradise. Now we say, okay, paradise was down. Now the scripture says it is up. What happened? Let's find out. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read verses 7 through 10. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, who ascended? Jesus. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, verse 9. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. When Jesus died, what did he say to the thief? He said, I'm going to be with you in paradise. That was down. They went to paradise that day, after they died. Now Herod says that Jesus also, he went to paradise. What did he do? Well, Peter gives that description. Let's turn to 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verses 18 and 19 tell us, Peter here gives us what happened. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, he died for sins, for just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickeneth by the Spirit. In other words, he was made alive. By which also he went and preached unto the saint spirits in prison. In prison. So these spirits, when they were down in the down in paradise, they were in prison yet. Not that they were in bondage, but they couldn't go to heaven. Old Testament saints, before Jesus died for you and me, the spirits could not go to heaven yet. Why? There was no sacrifice for our sins. Yes, there was an animal sacrifice, but there was no sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He led captivities captive. Now, when did those saints down there go up there? Was it when Jesus ascended to heaven? We do know when Jesus resurrected on that Sunday morning, we know that in Jerusalem there was saints that were walking around Jerusalem that ascended out of the graves. We know that because it says in Matthew. I don't know. I have no idea if they died again or if when Jesus ascended that they all ascended. But I do know, well, we'll get there. Now we say the next event, okay, this is something that can happen to all of us. We can all die. But the next event that the Christian, you and I are looking for, hopefully before we die, when Jesus comes, right? Are you like me? You just hope, oh, I don't want to experience death. I just want to go with Jesus up in the air. Well, I believe if we would ask someone that died, I'd say, it's no problem. Don't worry about it. Do you believe Jesus coming again? Some do, some don't. Maybe, some people. But I think many times the Jews ask, give us a sign, give us a sign. Well, what do you mean, Jesus? Are you sure you're really coming again? Are you sure? What did he say when he left? He said, as you see him go, he will come the same way. Okay? Now, let's go to Matthew 24. I want to read the first three verses here. In the heading of mine says, signs of the end, okay? The Jews were very proud of the temple. Jews were very proud. Verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. In other words, they were disciples here. Look, Jesus, look at this temple. See ye not all these things, Jesus says? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Well, this was the temple that Herod, King Herod had built. It seemingly Herod wanted to impress the Jews, but Jews were not impressed by King Herod. Because Yeah, it's just animosity between the two. But this temple was built the same place that Solomon's temple was, but it was 15 feet higher. And the temple had much splendor. It was noted for the wonder of the ancient times. This temple was known far and wide. It was adorned in golden ornaments, and it made a dazzling sight. One thing we notice in this era of time, there was peace. Of the time of Jesus, there was peace on earth, but not for long. Jesus told them, there's not going to be one stone thrown, being upon top of another. Now, let's go to Luke 21. There's a little more what Luke says about that. And I think these two scriptures mesh somewhat. Luke 21 verse 20 says this. Now Jesus here gave just a little bit of what's going to happen to the temple. Now here Jesus here in this account gives them a little bit more. And verse 20 says, and when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know ye that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee unto the mountain, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the country therein enter thereinto. For these days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now, we all know a little history. We probably learned it at school. You know what happened in AD 70, okay? Jerusalem was surrounded. And then they got word that Herod died. They all left. What did Jesus say? If you see that happening, Christians, flee. Flee, they did, because they came back again. They surrounded the city for 5 months. Finally, they took over the city, and 1.1 million Jews lost their lives. But the Christians escaped, because they believed what Jesus said. If you see these things happen, flee. They did. After the city was taken, Josephus says that Titus gave orders that they should not demolish the whole city and temple except for the three towers which they reserved standing. I'm not sure where the three towers were, but they destroyed the city and the temple so completely that no one would have thought anyone lived there. Another Jewish writer would have recorded that Rufus, the officer in the army of Titus, took a plowshare and tore up the foundations of the temple. Does that sound like a prophecy? It does. This being done fulfilled the prophecy of Micah 3:12. Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jesus' words of prophecy were also fulfilled, that not one stone shall be left upon another. Now, what made someone work so hard to destroy the land so thoroughly? It was the one word I can only think of, and that was hatred. You know, I admire Jesus. You know, he loved his people so much that he gave them a warning. Gave them a warning. In verses 4 and 5, that's back in Matthew 24, it says that there are going to be many false prophets coming. You know, there's many false prophets today. It records that, someone recorded that there was at least 24 false messiahs recorded as having appeared between the Emperor Adrian and the year of 1682. You know, anytime you hear someone say, okay, I can prove it by scripture. I remember when 1988. Everybody remember them times? 1988. So 88 reasons why Jesus is coming. When they make them statements, don't believe them. Bible says no one shall know. We should know the signs. We should know the signs when he's coming. I'll admit to that. There's a lot of signs. I would say the signs are increasing. I would say probably about any generation man ever lived, there were signs that Jesus is coming. All right? Back in the 1800s, there was a time that the stars were falling. 1833, there were stars were falling and falling. People were running out of the house. Hey, the Lord's coming. Well, he is coming. The same way he left. Let's look a little bit how he's going to come. Paul has a description of that. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, and ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. What is Paul saying there? He is saying, which are asleep. In other words, those that died. You know, we're going to meet the people that died, okay? We don't have to sorrow. Paul's saying, you don't have to sorrow those of people who died. You're going to meet them again. You're going to meet them again. Even as others that had no hope. Now, there's a different story. Person that dies that has no hope, I hope you don't meet him again. Okay? That rich man, I hope you don't meet him. It's your choice. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which slept in Jesus will God bring with him. That tells us a lot. That tells us a lot. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay. There's a few things we want to look at. When Jesus comes, this is not going to be a secret thing. All right? I always thought, before I knew this, oh, all of a sudden you'll see nobody. Where's this person? I always thought it's going to be that way. Not going to be that way. A shout. It'll be a noisy occasion. Jesus wants to make it known that he's coming. Now, this is what we call the rapture. The word rapture is not in the scriptures. It is caught up as in the scriptures. And it also says that every eye shall see him. That is a mind-boggling thought. If Glendon's are in Africa by that time, he's going to see him same time you and Lancaster County are going to see him. How's that going to work? You ever ponder that idea? Anything too hard for God? Can Jesus be more in one place in one time? Can God be more at one place in one time? I don't. Hey, them are questions that I like hard questions. Now, what did we say here? Which them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Jesus is not coming alone. What did we say? The saints went to paradise. Those saints are coming with us. According to Scripture. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So the bodies down here are going to get new bodies and meet your spirit in the air. So shall we be ever be with the Lord. I don't think we're going to touch ground. My personal opinion. Also, the scriptures tell us he'll come as a thief in the night. What's the difference between a thief and a robber? Robber don't care if he finds out that he's coming. He'll announce he's coming. He don't care. A thief is sneaky. Boom, all of a sudden it happens. That's how Jesus is going to be. All of a sudden it's going to happen. But we have enough of signs, brothers and sisters. We have enough of signs. The conditions are here. Now, I want to close this up. I want you to get this verse in Revelation 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6 says this: Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Ah, there must be more than one resurrection, right? Or what is Jesus saying here? What's the scripture saying? Well, we don't read anything about those that, when Jesus comes this here time, we don't read anything about those that are not saved. We don't read anything about it. I can give you my opinion, but that's all right. I just want to throw one more idea out here before I sit down. Revelation 19. You know, we read that Jesus is coming in the air. We know that. But here we have something else. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. Don't sound like peace to me. Make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many, many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. I'm not going to stand up here and explain what I think. I just want you to go home and sit down and study. This is not... Okay, I'll say it this way. I'll say, like a brother said, well, Leon, it don't matter how you believe or how I believe, but one thing we do believe. Jesus is coming again. Be ready. Let's kneel to pray.